This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 433, recorded Wednesday, March 20th, 2019, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Now with kazoo again. I like the kazoo.
What do you mean now with?
I mean, I've been now
using
with
the kazoo ever since we switched off of the alternative. You know, okay. what I haven't done in a while?
Eating pizza.
I was gonna go with my alternative instruments. Oh. When was the last time I pulled out my harmonica or my whistle? Anyway, so it is Wednesday. We're recording an episode. As I mentioned last week, tonight was Purim, so I am in the midst of celebrating a holiday.
Congratulations.
Yeah, this is the holiday where people drink. I don't drink.
But not you're drinking thing. Now, right? Because you're celebrating.
No, I just usually watch other people drink.
Oh.
I celebrated by, you know, all of the traditional things that people do that don't involve drinking.
Oh.
You know, there was the story of Purim, the usual. Anyway, so I sent you a message the other day, and I did not get a response from you.
Okay, so what's going on is you're looking to replace your Moto X4, and you wanted to know what I thought of the Pixel 3 and the Pixel 3 XL.
Yes, and your response was you didn't answer.
Well, of course not, because it would be much better to respond here, right?
Okay, by the way, one bit of reasoning for why I am thinking of replacing my Moto X4.
Mm-hmm.
It was making loud clicking noises for no particular reason earlier in the week. Whenever I would turn the screen off, it would suddenly start clicking. And it was
That's weird.
Yes, it is. So I went to look up when I actually purchased it.
Yes.
So it would have been October 20th, 2017. So not quite at the 2-year mark, which is when I usually replace phones. But it was annoying me. So what are your thoughts now that I've explained why I asked you this question?
My thoughts are a Pixel 3 XL is an excellent, excellent phone. It is only slightly better than the Pixel 2 XL. And I love my Pixel 2 XL even after, as old as it is. However, I think with the Pixel 4 coming out relatively soon. October. I think relatively soon. Well, leaks are starting.
Well, leaks are starting, I thought, for the Pixel 3A. Well, let's see here. Pixel 4 release date. Let's see. The prediction is that will probably be October
2019. Wow. Can you wait 6 months?
No.
Okay. Then I would go with the 3 XL. Depending on if you're okay with a large phone.
Reasonably. I've had larger than what I have now. That's sort of the thing. I started out thinking a 3-inch phone was large. And now I'm talking about a 6-inch phone.
Right?
Yeah, we'll see. But one of the things that made me think that I could get a phone and not feel so horrible about the pricing of it was the fact that Google Fi will give me 0% financing.
Are they going to charge you full price? I mean, I'm sure by now you can get a Pixel 3 XL used for a pretty decent price, right?
Well, let me ask you a question. What is a pretty decent price? If you went on to Swappa, which is where I have in the past, although not in since early in the history of the show, have I actually bought a used phone. Pixel 3 XL, the lowest price they currently show now is $490. According to their notes, a 64GB Pixel 3 XL has an average recent sale price of $601.
Well, you can get a brand new one for $700.
Yes. So a used one is not necessarily worth it.
That's true.
To save $100.
Right.
And again, now, the financing is something of an influencer. Because again, I don't have to pay the upfront price and I don't have to pay interest for the privilege of
Do you find 64 gigabytes to be sufficient for you?
Well, bear in mind, I do put music on my phone and listen to it.
However, yeah, 64 gigs, you could put a year's worth of music on it and never listen to the same song twice.
I put 7,000 songs on the phone I have now, and I think I'm at 48 gigabytes in the card that I added to the phone, but I won't have the card option.
7,000 songs, 7 times 4 is 28, so you're looking at...
You know, plus applications, plus, because remember, 64 is what's on the phone, but you also have the OS, you have space to store any pictures you might take, even though you can offload them. So it's just a matter of offloading things when I'm no longer actively using them, instead of just leaving them on the phone.
7,000 songs is about 28 gig. Now, 7,000 songs
is... I don't need my whole collection at once.
28,000 minutes, roughly. Or 466 hours, or about 19 days.
By the way, my current phone has 32 gigabytes of internal storage.
So even the minimum phone would be a significant upgrade.
Yeah. So do you think I should do it?
I do. Yes, I think you will be most happy with the Pixel 3 XL.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
Is it showing up tomorrow?
I ordered it yesterday.
Excellent. I couldn't wait for you. Good man, good man.
By the way, you are not to make you think that your opinion is not important to me as somebody who I talk to about Android on a weekly basis, but I did ask other people who had Pixel type phones. So I asked.
Did anybody have anything bad to say?
Let's see. One person told me that I should just go and get a burner phone for 6 months and wait for something new.
To which my point was, if I'm going to replace my phone, I'm going to replace my phone. I'm not going to, just because it's making a clicking noise, buy a temporary phone and then buy another phone. If that makes any sense.
It does.
So nobody had anything bad to say about the Pixel. Now, if I did read some reviews, and there were some people who had bad things to say about the Pixel on the reviews in terms of... A few people did have serious issues with their Pixel 3 XL. However, the majority of people did not. Plenty of people were annoyed with the notch at the top of it. Apparently, it's a noticeable notch. On the other hand, I'm getting 6 inches of screen real estate. I'm sure I can live.
Yes.
And I've missed having my fingerprint reader on the back. Motorola puts it on the front.
The fingerprint reader on the back is in the perfect spot.
Yeah, I had that on the Nexus 5X. If you remember, my Nexus 5X ceased to be.
Yes.
But I'll be happy if I can keep the Moto X4 as my backup phone. I can finally retire the Moto X3, which is my current emergency backup phone. The one with the screen that has discoloration in various places. I did consider trading the phone into Google, but they told me they'd give me $39 for it.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. So that's my story.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I did buy some other things.
Ooh.
Yes, because I think I mentioned to you at the time that I built an arcade system about 2 years ago.
A Raspberry Pi one?
Yes. But I discovered a distinct problem with said system. My nephews would fight over who could actually play it because it only had one joystick.
Mm-hmm.
So the holidays are coming up when I will be with my relatives, and I have agreed to construct one with that can support two players. That's two players at the same time.
Oh, cool. And it's not easier to just build another one so they can both play their own games?
You're talking about building two single players as opposed to one multiplayer?
Yes.
Well, I still have the single player. I'm building a new one that supports two players. So the single player...
Oh, so you're going to get, like, both worlds.
Well, three different worlds, because I also agreed to build the Game Boy-style one. Cool. I decided if I'm going to be doing some construction, I'm going to go on, so I have a... Sitting back here, I have the enclosure for a two-player bar top style arcade game that will use a 22-inch monitor, as opposed to the little one I built, which uses an 8-inch monitor. I have my buttons and my joysticks arriving tomorrow. I have two car speakers that are going to handle the audio and a little amplifier. The whole thing powered by a Pi. I have a USB interface that will pick up the joysticks and relay the button signals. The only thing I'm missing is a marquee. Well, we all have our things.
Yep.
So hopefully during the holidays I will be constructing that with my nephew.
Cool. And, sounds like fun.
Yes, and if my nephew decides that, despite the fact that this was his idea, that he does not wish to do this, and an alternative nephew does not wish to step in, I'm not returning the stuff. I'm building the thing anyway. Besides, I'm not 100% sure that they'll let me return the stuff. So, I have my project for my time off. Should be fun. Now, how do I link that into home automation? Should I put something into there so that it's going to go and tell my home assistant installation that I'm playing a game?
No.
Why not? I have something that tells it when I'm playing television so that it can change the lighting configuration.
Ooh.
What if every time I play a game, it turns the light off?
I guess if you live by yourself, that's cool.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. While I am constructing it, I will not be living by myself because I will be with the relatives who are supposed to help me construct it. But when I leave, I'm taking it with me.
I don't know. Not everything has to be tied into the home automation.
Yeah. I'll agree with you on that. Still a fun idea.
It is.
So let's talk about Android.
And Android Q!
Yes, so the Android Q beta came out, and I have not tried it because I do not have a device that would support it, and I'm not really one of those people who does betas.
I'm not either.
I like to read about what I'm going to get later, but I do not like to sort of pop up and install them because my phone is what I use to do a lot of things during the course of my day.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want to be running software that I am uncomfortable with because it is not yet fleshed out. It's one thing if it's near release, but not if it's... if they're telling you, no, we haven't finished everything yet. So there are some interesting features that are part of the beta. Additional privacy protections. More control over location. So let's talk about those two for a moment. Those two go hand in hand. So a lot of Android Q is about hardening various parts of security, which have been concerns on Android. So yep. What that'll include is the first one I mentioned, which is location. So... apps access to location when the app is not in use is going to be a new option. So you can either allow location to be accessed all the time or only while the app is in use.
I like it, especially since some apps have a really bad reputation for always reporting your location back to home base.
Yeah, well, I want the third option, which is allow only this time.
Allow only when I'm at home.
No, I'm saying allow this app to access the location just right now. You know, the sort of ask all the time.
Right. Oh, okay.
See, ask every time you want it. So allow this permission right now. Always allow this permission. Only allow this permission while the app is actively in use.
That's a spiffy idea.
I'd like the third option, which is, you know, I just want to do it right now, and I don't want to allow it. I want you to ask me every single time. Now, admittedly, I may not be that concerned, but I know people are and want to be asked every single time they agree to do something.
Sure.
And again, there's more to that. So we have, let's see here, more control over apps, controlling access to shared files, apps access to the photos, videos, and audio collections via new runtime permissions. So your downloads. So for downloads, they have to use the system file picker, which allows the user to decide which download files the app can access. Changes for how apps can use shared areas on external storage. So those are
not that external storage is extremely common anymore.
No, it isn't on high-end phones, but on mid-range phones, it is still very common.
Is it?
Well, the difference is that it sort of moved most. It used to be there are two types of external storage that are allowed now. One is external storage only for media, which is what I tend to use.
Mm-hmm.
I want my apps on the device. But what you can also do is you can put your external card into a volume with your internal card, which means if you take it out, you can't access the information because it's encrypted. But it will allow you to install apps and expand your internal storage, and it'll look like one single device to the system. Again, back to different ways of doing the same thing. Let's see. Android Q will prevent apps from launching an activity while in the background. So this is when an app jumps into the foreground and takes over focus. So if your app is in the background and needs to get attention quickly, such as for calls or alarms, you can use a high priority notification and provide a full screen intent. But the difference,
that'd be nice for the times when it's hard to hit that answer notification.
Yeah, but this is, remember, apps can actually take over the screen. But they know that for an alarm or a call that somebody still may want the screen to be taken over. So by changing it from the app being allowed to take over the screen to that being classified as a full screen high priority notification, if the app is doing it negatively, you can disable that notification. back to you have control. So control is good. And remember, if you want to let the system use whatever defaults the system uses, that's fine. I like choice, especially when choice starts out from a sensible default.
Yep.
Limiting access to non-resettable device identifiers. So this is IMEI, serial number, etc.
Mm-hmm.
This one is going to annoy me. Randomizing device's MAC address when connected to different Wi-Fi networks by default.
Now, see, I think what that means is each Wi-Fi network is going to get a different MAC address.
Well, no, I'm saying that if they're randomizing continuously, and the reason why I'm saying it's going to annoy me is I have two Wi-Fi access points. So what happens as I move around my house? Am I going to have two MAC addresses?
Well, they're two different access points, but are they two different Wi-Fi networks?
Officially, no. That's why I'm saying I want more details of that particular function.
Right.
I may have
because
to wait till it
I do the
out.
Same thing.
Yeah. The nice thing is now, because I'm doing this tracking through Home Assistant to determine when my phone's connected to the network, which I use to trigger stuff. You know, I'm home, I'm not home. What I may have to do is now they allow you to associate multiple MAC addresses with the same device. That is a more recent feature, so I have to use it. Glad they put it in. Good timing. You can get Android Q supports foldables. Those are fun. I don't think I'm going to buy a foldable. But keep in mind, I didn't think I would buy a lot of things in my life that I have.
Then that's true enough.
Yeah. Then there's sharing shortcuts. So this was sort of mentioned previously, that the sharing system in Android can be really slow, and it really shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
So sharing shortcuts would be you can jump directly into another app to share content. So you've already been able to do share targets, but now it can launch a specific activity in the app with content attached, and they're published in advance. So I'm guessing here, and I've never looked at it on a technical level, that every time I want to share something, it's pulling that information in real time instead of caching it or letting these apps register it so it doesn't have to look it up every time.
Yes.
Which is why it's so slow. So the implication is this new one is going to be fast, which will make me happy because sometimes I share something and I wait 2 minutes because it wants to show me options to share to every individual contact instead of just back to including people I would never want to share to. I'm not saying I don't want to talk to them. Clearly, if they're showing up as suggestions, I've talked to them.
Right.
But I don't want to share links with them. So I have people who I read an interesting article and I'll send them the link. I do this with, let's say, my brother, for example. Mostly because my brother does the same thing to me. I have to return the favors. So him, I would want to share a link directly to chat with him. But with most people, I am not sending them information that way. Apparently, you can now show system settings directly in the context of your app. So this is the whole slices thing. So you can show part of an app inside your, part of a setting inside your app.
Which is cool for not for the numerous apps that as the first time you open, they say, you know, that you have to go and set up this setting and that setting and the other setting.
Yeah, and I know I hate, you know, jumping around trying to get everything configured. Let's see. In Android Q, Bluetooth, cellular, and Wi-Fi are getting increased protection by requiring find location permission instead of course.
Wow.
So if your app only needs to make peer-to-peer connections or suggest networks, there are new APIs that could do that without having to have a location permission.
Cool.
So in addition to randomized MAC addresses, there's new Wi-Fi standard support, WPA3 and Enhanced Open. What's Enhanced Open? I know what it sounds like, but I have never read about that. Enhanced Open, let's see here, is a security measure that delivers benefits for users in open networks, protections in scenarios where user authentication is not desired or distribution of credentials impractical, such as public areas. Provides protections against passive eavesdropping without requiring a password or extra steps to join the network. Based on opportunistic wireless encryption, it integrates cryptography mechanisms to provide each user with unique individual encryption between their device and the network so other people on the network would not be able to spy on them. That's nice.
Yep.
I want that. I wonder if that's a software upgrade or if you need a hardware upgrade for everything for that. Anyway, moving along, let's see what else we have here. The new Wi-Fi API. So there's a new Wi-Fi stack to improve privacy and performance, to improve use cases like managing IoT devices and suggesting internet connections, again, without the location permission. The network suggestion API lets apps surface preferred Wi-Fi networks to users for internet connectivity, but they don't actually have to deal with the network stuff. Sounds good. You can now request adaptive Wi-Fi by enabling high performance and low latency.
Wow.
This next one sounds interesting. For the camera, a dynamic depth format for photos. So starting in queue, you can request a dynamic depth image, which consists of a JPEG, XMP metadata related to depth-related elements, and a depth and confidence map embedded in the same file on devices that advertise support. So you can offer specialized blurs and options in your app. You can use the data to create 3D images or support AR photography use cases. So this is an open format for the ecosystem, and they're working to make it available across devices. So that's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
So if you have two cameras in your phone, you could save depth data. Excuse me. I think there might be some interesting applications. I look forward to people who know what they're doing actually working on that.
Right.
Support cool. for open source video codec AV1.
Not that anybody uses AV1.
Well, bear in mind that if no one supports it, then of course no one's going to use it. If Android supports it, then people might actually start using it. I'm not making a judgment on AV1. I'm just more saying somebody has to be the first to support everything.
Okay.
Am I wrong about that?
No.
Okay.
There is a chicken and egg problem. That's true.
Yeah, but it is equally possible that AV1 will never catch on, even though it's in there. There are plenty of standards that have never caught on, a lot of them pioneered by Google. Also, audio encoding using Opus, which is a codec optimized for speech and music streaming, and HDR 10 Plus for high dynamic range video on devices that support it. A native MIDI API. So, of course, now you can play your MIDI keyboard with your phone. Well, I'm still hoping for fixes for audio latency and better support for USB-based recording devices. I would love to be able to plug a USB microphone into my phone using a cable and actually get a portable recording studio with the fidelity of, let's say, this recording.
Mm-hmm.
I think there might be demand for that because the competition can do it already. iOS has wonderful support for audio with low latency. Anyway, that's not causing me to switch to Apple. Neural Networks API, nice, but isn't really a user feature. In terms of performance, improvements to the ART runtime, which helps apps start faster and consume less memory.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So optimization, always a good thing.
Yes.
Security for apps. So Android Q extends support for passive authentication methods such as face and implicit and explicit authentication flows.
Ooh, does this mean we're going to get that whole face and iris detection login stuff?
Well, this is support for it. It doesn't mean that you're going to do it. It means that there's now a flow where you could support biometrics at a system level. That would assume your device has to support it. Also support for TLS 1.3. So that's good. New security. And they are apparently going to be restricting non-public APIs and asking people to use the public ones.
Oh, cool.
But they've said because they realized that they really didn't enforce... they're going to start this where only when your app targets Android Q.
Ah.
And they're going to continue adding public alternative APIs based on requests. So if you're asking for an API where there is no current public one, actually say something. So they to where you can actually tell them, I need an API for this. That's assuming anybody reads the Google issue tracker. For somebody at Google does. So let's see. Later this year, Google Play will require 64-bit support in all apps, which was mentioned. But again... that's going to continue. And let's see if there's anything else. Oh, yes. I have a few more things here. Let's see. There's going to be a media output switcher.
What?
So there will be a way to switch between multiple media devices. So if you have a Bluetooth set of headphones enabled, if you have a phone speaker, you'll be able to at least switch the output. So I included a screenshot from one of the many Android sites of this. So in the media... notification, it's going to actually have something that would allow you to switch the audio stream between inputs if you have multiple inputs currently available.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's also a change for lock screen album art. So it blurs the album art. And again, well, I like album art sometimes. There's a native screen recorder that's apparently under development. So in the new version, if it is enabled, you can long press the power button and then hit the screenshot button, which is similar to the one that you actually have now on the phone. And there's now a video recorder.
Interesting. Huh? Just little extra things.
Well, the thing is, people sort of wanted it. So right now, if I long press the power button, I can do a screenshot, but not a screen recording. So the options on long press of power are now power off, restart. And I'm happy because you didn't used to have a restart button on every phone.
True.
Lockdown and screenshot. So lockdown was that thing we discussed where it will disable the fingerprint reader.
Yes.
In case you're in the hands of law enforcement.
Yes. Although, you know how right now you can double press the power button to get to the camera
you app? Can? I never double press the power button.
Yeah. I think it would be cool if a double press put the phone in lockdown.
By the way, that doesn't work on my phone.
Really? Well, it will on your new phone.
I'll take your word for it. We'll see. Maybe I will learn things about the phone that you don't know about your phone. I'm not going to say that I know everything about everything.
Someone I'm sure you will learn things that I don't have access to.
That is quite possible, as it's not the same phone. Let's see what else we have here. Native desktop support. So a lot of people have tried to put desktop support into Android phones, but now there will be a native option for that. Or the start of one. Background clipboard access will now be disabled, which is
another
also
huge security issue.
So you can still do clipboard access in the foreground, but the idea is that nobody can spy on your clipboard. So you can't have a malicious app doing that, especially since some people use that for their passwords.
Yes.
The Android Q can automatically activate battery saver based on usage. So more, as we get to new Android versions, more of the phone trying to learn from your behavior. So machine learning is the thing of the day.
Which, you know, along with that, there are new APIs for neural nets.
Yeah, I mentioned that. I did mention that.
Yes.
That's a developer as opposed to a user feature. But that
which
is
cool.
It will be useful to see what developers actually do with it. So apps designed for an older version of Android will allow you to review permissions during the initial launch. Not excited about that one?
Not so much.
Okay. How about chat heads? I'm not a big chat head person. I remember when Facebook first started doing them with their Messenger.
Yeah, no. I don't want this.
I don't want little floating people around.
It's so easy to switch between apps now that I don't care for this. And I sincerely hope that anybody who uses this allows me to disable it because, ew.
So far, yes. Every time I've ended up with a chat head. So let's see what else we have. Oh, yes. Be My Eyes. So this is an app that connects people who are blind and have low vision to volunteers in the sighted community. So this is a Google project. So they've done a lot with disability support. So people with accessibility questions within Google products can actually call to talk to a Google disability support specialist Monday through Friday. And they have an app both for iOS and Android that allows you to connect to people who are blind and low vision. It says 2 million sighted volunteers. So a volunteer can assist someone with a task that requires visual assistance, such as checking expiry dates, distinguishing colors, reading instructions, or navigating new surroundings.
That's awesome.
So this is a partnership between Be My Eyes, which is an organization. So I appreciate they're trying stuff. There was a minor Pocket Casts update. So if you remember, there was a major Pocket Casts update.
Yes.
And people had some mixed feelings about it.
Yep.
And
yep.
This is 7.0.1, which they've made some changes in response to people's response to 7. So they've fixed the fact that the episode titles were being truncated, which was apparently really annoying people.
Well, sure, especially if the podcast titles all start exactly the same.
Yeah, which has always been a problem. But you think since the dash and a name is so popular between the that you think that it would sort of separate it line by line by the dashes. But you can now set where in up next an episode gets added when using the swipe gesture at the top or at the bottom. You can change the default behavior of tapping on an episode from opening the details to actually playing it. You can now download all the episodes from a show, although it will download everything, not just unplayed episodes, unless you hide the old ones. So a bunch of bug fixes.
I think it's awesome that they're we talked about the major update not long ago, right?
Yeah, so they did a major update, which made a lot of people unhappy. They took out features that they discovered very few people were using. They redesigned the thing. So anytime there's a big change, people get a little upset if they're used to the old one, which I understand.
But it would appear that they were extremely responsive in that they got an update which fixed as much as they could. They got the update out quickly.
Yeah, and they'll probably continue. And as I said, when we started talking about the beta for this update, you know, if I decide that an update has changed enough that I don't like the experience of using the app anymore, and that's after legitimately trying to use it, just because I don't know where to find things, which is a amount of frustration when somebody redesigns something I'm used to, doesn't mean I'm going to give up so easily. But if I gave up, there are other apps out there, and it may be that that's a push to try something new. The two things that caused me to consider trying a new app for my phone is, one, if there's been a change to the app I've been using that I may have an issue with, or the other one, which is if the app hasn't updated in a while. There's the third one, which is just I feel as part of the show every so often I should try something new, even if I don't have a problem with what I have now.
Yep.
But mostly it's the first two. It's they changed something and I don't like it, or they haven't really done much in a while, and I feel like I need an app that somebody's actually doing something with. So I tried that. The app I use to read GitHub repositories I had kept for a while, so I decided to try another app. And while the other app had some nice caching features where you could download what you were trying to read,
mm-hmm.
I didn't like the interface. So the easier thing to do is to reach out to the person who makes the app I like and ask them if they'll put in a feature where you can cache the repository so you could actually more quickly read the thing you're trying to read. Although back to I really shouldn't be trying to read code on my phone.
It is hard.
Yeah, but it's usually me trying to do research for something I might be doing later. Trying to understand somebody else's work. But anyway. IKEA smart blinds have been delayed to later in 2019. So no inexpensive smart blinds for you.
No!
It'll come. They look nice, though. If you are a Verizon user and you have not upgraded from 3G...
Oh!
Yeah?
That just reminded me of something I wanted to talk about. Carry on.
I'll finish this one and then... Actually, we have two more on this list and then... We'll get to it.
Okay.
Verizon has moved up mothballing 3G and CDMA to the end of 2019. It was supposed to be not until 2020. So this is a problem for me.
Why is that?
I had the hardest time teaching my grandmother how to use her cell phone, and now I'm going to have to get her a new one. She still has a 3G flip phone. Have you looked at the prices of flip phones nowadays? No, I'm serious. I went and Googled Verizon feature phones, because she's on Verizon. And then I went to the basic phone section. So they used to call them feature, now they're saying basic. So here we are. If I go to the retail price, not the prepaid price, because mm-hmm. she's at retail, the lowest phone here is $120 for a Kyocera Cadence LTE, which is a flip phone. So it looks very similar to what she has now, just like a traditional flip phone.
So that's how much?
$144.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I'm just more saying that... it costs almost as much as a budget smartphone. Actually, I could get a budget smartphone for less than that. So this is what? A Kyocera Cadence LTE. And then, of course, I have to teach her how to use it. Which is also a challenge. By the way, if you get it certified refurbished, it's only $75 on Amazon. Guess I'll start looking into that. Anyway, that's just... I am not upset that CDMA is going away on Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, change.
Yeah, it's going to cause you to create a new...
It's not so much... No, it's not the money of getting my grandmother a new phone. It's just technology is not her thing. My grandmother is 92. She does not always remember how to dial it and turn on her phone. She's much better with a house phone. So, I will go and teach her. Moving along, Inbox will shut down on April 2nd. So, this is Inbox by Google, which is their experimental mail platform that apparently... they've given up on, or they've incorporated many of the features into actual Gmail. However, not all of them yet. So there are people who are upset because they like the interface.
No!
Thus is life.
Yep.
So that brings us to the end of the show notes, which allows you to talk about whatever it is you were going to talk about.
Well, talking about Verizon reminded me that, okay, I'm a T-Mobile guy.
Okay.
And I flew via Delta last week. And
you took advantage of the free go-go for T-Mobile customers?
Right? Who knew?
Me. That's why I just said it.
So bottom line, if you're on Delta and you're at T-Mobile, you get free Wi-Fi during this flight. Cool. Yeah. Although I couldn't get it to work on my laptop.
Well, I was able to get it to work the last time I was on there. Of course, the really odd thing about that is I am not a T-Mobile customer. But apparently my old the T-Mobile number that I used when I got myself a prepaid SIM for $1 and tried it for 30 days still works. Go figure. If it didn't, I'd be fine, but I was just curious to see if it did. Anyway, I am glad that you were able to take advantage of that. You could also do what I do. I seem to have lost Jerry, which is odd because he's told me that I've left, However, I see his smiling picture. So how did I leave? I guess I will have to redial him. Oh, did it do that thing again where it logged me out of Google while I was in the middle of talking to somebody? I think is incredibly odd when you're in the middle of a hangout to be kicked out of your hangout instead of a pop-up. So I will rejoin the room. Hello.
Hello.
It did that thing where it logged me out while I was talking to you, which really annoys me.
I'm sorry.
So as we wrap up for the evening, just remember just today a new version of Home Assistant came out.
0.9.0, right?
Yes, I'm looking forward to trying one feature that came in. Camera streams for everyone. So the stream component would allow you to forward streams from cameras in your house and repackage it into formats that your display devices understand. So previously, streaming cameras were limited to 2 frames per second only in the front end. For the first version, they focused on the HLS format, supported by browsers and Chromecast. So each camera integration will need to be individually updated, and for the first version, they only added support for the generic camera integration. So if you remember, I have a Ring video doorbell. I think I've mentioned this.
Yes.
But Google will not do the ability to see your Ring video doorbell on a Google smart display, because Google and Amazon are fighting with each other continuously. So this would, once they find a way to integrate the Ring support, since Ring, they can access the Ring video, I wonder if they'll be able to make it so that I could send that to the Google smart display, which actually is a Chromecast. I have the same problem with the Wyze, but right now I can't access the Wyze cams inside Home Assistant. Though I gathered from reading their Reddit and their forums that they don't object to it. I don't think it's a priority for them, but I think they're sort of on board with the idea. So we'll see. Although if they fix the problem of allowing people to access the feed without having to go through their cloud service, then that would solve the Home Assistant problem. And at least one software package has reverse engineered their protocol. So maybe another one will too.
Cool.
So I'm potentially excited. Anytime there are new features, I can enjoy. So by this time, hopefully the next time we talk, I will be able to talk all about my new toy. I always find it amusing when the case for a phone that I ordered arrives before the actual phone.
Well, yeah.
I didn't pay for expedited shipping, but I was ordering all of those parts for the arcade thing, so they put it in the box with that. Anyway, until next week.
Until next week.
Next week will be the 27th, so I don't anticipate not being here. So how about we do this again next week?
Let's do it again next week.
Until next time. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.